Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and I'm about to make you guys part of the conversation. Hey guys, thank you for downloading. Thank you guys for subscribing to, and thank you guys for sharing on your social media, Culture and Conversations. Up next on Culture and Conversations, I'm going to tell you guys about my love of gardening and what I've got planned for my garden in 2019. That's right, we're continuing our series of conversations around gardening. And we're going to finish up this series with this episode up next on Culture and Conversations. Hey guys, welcome to Culture and Conversations. Yes, I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and this is the conversation you definitely want to be a part of. Man, I hope everybody's doing well out there. I hope everybody is enjoying life whenever you're listening to this episode of Culture and Conversations. I have been out of town recently at PodFest 2019 down in Orlando, Florida, and I just got back into town not too long ago, and I actually had my first day at work. I took a bit of a vacation. I went to visit my parents for my dad's birthday. My dad is now 73 years old, and I went and spent time with them, enjoyed that getaway. Had some rain most of the time I was down there, but it was a much needed break. And then from there, I went down to Orlando, Florida, and spent 4 days in Orlando, taking in the sights of the city, eating some great food. Hashtag small bites is definitely coming. And I, you know, enjoying myself at PodFest 2019. I learned a lot about podcasting. I learned that I'm not alone in this crazy art form and media form known as podcasting. And I met some incredible people and podcasters while I was out of town and down at PodFest 2019. So much so that I've actually got some content I recorded with those people while I was down there and visiting and enjoying the city of Orlando. And just, you know, I can't do enough to thank the people who coordinated, who put on PodFest 2019. It was an amazing time. The conference was well run, and the workshops were great. The speakers were awesome. And just hearing the different perspectives and kind of getting a feel for where I'm at in the game of podcasting, that was great. I'm going to do a full review of PodFest 2019, and I'm going to put that out fairly close to this episode of Culture and Conversations. I think it's going to be before it. And I just want to, you know, give you guys a heads up that it's out as of this recording. I think I just decided to put it out beforehand. So, but I don't want to spend too much time on this episode talking about it, because this episode doesn't have a guest. I'm going to talk to you guys about my garden. So that's the topic of this show. And we'll talk about all the other stuff that I've got on the docket for the review of PodFest 2019 in another episode of Culture and Conversations that is going to come out. So let's talk about gardening. You heard my interview I did with my friend Neil about gardening, and we kind of did a bit of an introduction for those people who are interested in gardening and wanted to learn a little bit more about it. And quite naturally, when spring begins to be in the air and the seasons change, people all over the country began to think about their garden. And gardening is a hobby for many people, but it can be a little bit intimidating. It can be a little bit tedious. It can be taxing initially when you don't really know what you're doing and you haven't built the actual garden yet. And I wanted to give you guys some encouragement and some insight into a hobby that I really do enjoy, and talk with you about why I garden, so that you can approach it if you choose to this spring. You can follow along if you're fans and supporters of the Culture and Conversations podcast page on Facebook. And You know, maybe you want to start your own garden and you just didn't know where to go. So this episode will hopefully help you. And if nothing else, it'll give you a chance to get to learn a little bit more about me. So a couple of years ago, I decided to start a garden. This will actually be my fourth garden. This will be the fourth one that I've done. So really 4 years ago, I started a garden. And, you know, people at work were talking about gardening. My boss was talking about gardening. One of my coworkers was talking about gardening. And a couple of other employees that I worked next to, they were talking about gardening. And I was looking for hobbies post-divorce to take up time so that I could stay busy, that I could kind of work on me, that I could do something constructive and just escape from singleness. I was looking for something to divert my attention away from the fact that I was single again. And, you know, I wanted to take some time and just work on me as a person. And so I was picking up different hobbies. I mean, during this time of my life, I went and learned how to paint, or discovered that I had a little bit of a talent for painting. So I went to one of those classes where you sit down and you drink wine and you paint. And I just went out and, you know, said I was going to do it. And I went to the class and had a great time learning how to paint. And I caught that bug, and I began to think about, you know, creating a business for myself and changing, you know, changing jobs. And, you know, I just was in a time of flux, but it was a good time. It wasn't a scary time for me. It was just a good time. And, you know, I was doing a lot of redecorating at the house because I wanted to change, you know, things up in the home. And the house had become a place that was synonymous with dread and arguments and frustration, because that's where my marriage fell apart. So, you know, I had changed the inside of the house, but I decided to change the outside. And so I did start doing landscaping. I put out new mulch and, you know, put out edging stones and just began to really craft in my home what I thought it should look like from an image that I had in my mind. And, you know, I was enjoying that. You know, I grew up in South Georgia. I grew up in rural South Georgia. So I lived around farms and I was always outside in the country. And my dad, he would work us in the yards and doing landscaping. So that wasn't work that was unfamiliar to me. And I think that when you go through a divorce, you kind of you're looking to recenter and kind of get back to who you are as a person, your core identity. So, you know, landscaping felt like a good release for me, and it helped me sort of recenter and just took me back to a time in my life that I was familiar and that I felt whole. So I think all of that helped. And it culminated with all those conversations around me about gardening into me saying, you know what, I want a garden too. So I decided to plant a garden, and I decided to build a garden bed. And it was a good time. I built a raised garden bed, but my raised bed was actually up off the ground. So I built a huge planter and bought lumber and bought tools and just built this great garden bed. And it's 4 foot by 8 foot long. So it's 32 square feet. And I remember I had a bunch of dirt shipped in to actually fill the bed up, because I didn't have any soil. I didn't have any topsoil. So there was a nursery down the street, and I went down there and I ordered dirt, paid for a bunch of dirt. And, you know, I had to put out a tarp in my yard so that, you know, they could dump the dirt on the tarp in the yard and it wouldn't mess up the yard. And I bought a wheelbarrow and shovels and scoops and just everything you would need to move dirt. And, you know, I remember, it reminded me of a time in my life when I was a younger boy, when I was a teenager working at home, because we had a wheelbarrow and we had to move stuff around, and I was just, you know, moving that dirt. It was a simple, you know, really stupid piece of work that had to be done. I had to move that dirt from the front of the house to the back of the house because, you know, you couldn't put it anywhere else. You know, you couldn't put it anywhere else. So, you know, I had to move all that dirt, and it just was good. It was cathartic. You know, it was me against the dirt. And I never forget, I had a neighbor who walked by and she was doing her laps around the neighborhood. And she just kept on asking me about what I was working on and just being nosy, right? Like just being a super nosy neighbor. And, you know, she finally said something to the effect after I moved all the dirt, you know, she was, you know, so insistent upon trying to help, you know, here you are just being this old lady, you know, you're in your late 60s, early 70s, and you're trying to quote unquote help me move dirt. You're just being intrusive at this point. And finally, when she walked by, you know, it was almost like the devil spoke through her because she was like, well, is it all worth it? And I'm like, yeah, this is worth it. This is my home. You know, this is something that's a blessing to me. This is a place where I'm going to live and flourish, you know, and I mean, going through a divorce, you know, I just really wanted you to kind of understand my frame of mind. You know, I didn't see my house as a place of flourishing. You know, my home was a place where things failed. You know, my marriage failed, my relationship with my ex-wife failed. And, you know, the purpose that I bought the house for failed, you know, so I saw my home as synonymous with my failure. And I had this really, really weird thing going on with my mind and my home. And so for me to be moving that dirt and creating a garden in the backyard and to have this lady walking about around trying to be really antagonistic and being an obstacle to my morale, you know, I really felt some kind of way about that. And then that was probably one of the moments that I began to take pride in my home, you know. The other time I began to take pride in my home was when I saw what the home value was according to Zillow.com. When I saw the equity that I allegedly had, if I sold my house, you know, I stopped being sad about my house as a point of failure. I thought about it as a point of success because I was like, well, if I sell my house, at least I know I'm going to cash out of this thing. But, you know, I just remember her being so difficult that my neighbor, and I just would refuse to give up. And I wanted to show her and prove her wrong that I was going to move all that dirt, you know, one, you know, wheelbarrow load at a time until I got it all done. And, thankfully I did. I got it all done and, it turned out, you know, it turned out beautifully in the back. And, you know, there are some things that you learn the hard way when you build a big planter like that up off the ground. Screws aren't going to be sufficient to hold that much weight. So I eventually had to, you know, jack up the floor of the planter and put down cinder blocks to support it. But, that fixed all the problems. You know, at that point, it fixed all the problems with the support and the foundation. So I was ready to plant. And, that season I grew a bunch of tomatoes. I grew okra. I grew pretty much whatever I could plant, peppers, you know, just a lot of stuff. I grew some squash that year. I grew this particular variety called gray zucchini. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was spraying water through my irrigation system. I bought a timer so that I didn't have to go outside and water the garden manually, that I had sprinklers and all this stuff set up to do it and hoses. And the timer was huge because I could set the time and set the frequency that I wanted the garden to be watered, and it would just water the garden for me on cue. And that was a really big discovery is that timer. So, I mean, for people who are listening, who are thinking about starting a garden, you know, once you figure out where you want to put the garden at, once you figure out how big you want the garden, once you get soil to begin to build your garden's foundation on, then you have to decide how are you going to water it. And gardening can be fairly intensive when it comes to water if you do manual watering. And most people don't realize how much water a garden takes to flourish, especially in Georgia, where we can get some very hot days and we can get a lot of direct sunlight in our gardens, and it just really bakes them pretty hard. So once you realize how much water it's going to take, you probably want to get an actual timer so that you don't inconsistently water your garden. But that's like a tip, right? So, you know, one of the things I discovered also while I was building this garden is just how hard it is to grow stuff. You know, that first season I had some marginal success. I got tomatoes to grow easily, for the most part. I did eventually see my plants get sick, something that, is fairly common with growing tomatoes, especially in a humid climate. And I didn't really prune them the way that I should have. And I wasn't as aggressive with pruning as I should have been. But I learned that lesson, obviously, about later on in my gardening, time. And, so I got some things to grow that I really wanted to grow. And I had to continue to work at it, though. I had to learn how to solve problems. I started discovering how to deal with certain types of insects and certain things that were killing your garden, were killing plants in the garden. And I had to learn how to deal with all of that. I have an organic garden for the most part. I may use some chemical fertilizers or some chemically derived fertilizers, commercially produced fertilizers, such as like a Miracle-Gro. But for the most part, my garden is organic. I use manure. I use mushroom compost. I use all these organic fertilizers to help build the soil up. And while those aren't as quickly available to the plant as a synthetic fertilizer would be, like a Miracle-Gro plant food kind of fertilizer, they really help you develop healthy soil. One of the things that you learn pretty quickly in gardening is that you got to have a good, healthy soil bed. And that means you got to put tons of organic material in there. You feed the soil, and then that's what ultimately feeds the plant. You heard that in the episode with Neil. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and listen to the last episode of Culture and Conversations, and you'll hear me talk with Neil about that topic. But I had to really do that, right? Feed the soil. And that's kind of when I think I began to see gardening as a larger metaphor for my life. I saw that I had to build a foundation in order for things to grow and flourish and be produced. And then I kind of went from there and I said, you know what? The garden is really what I hope my life to be. I make no bones about being a Christian, and I don't hide that fact from people. And one of the things in Christianity we believe is that everything began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And, part of having a garden is that you have to cultivate it. You have to work it and tend it. That's a biblical theological statement that we get from the example we see in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And what you allow into your garden can either be fruitful or it can be detrimental, the example being the serpent. So what I realized from gardening and seeing myself and my life through that metaphor of gardening is that, I had to cultivate my garden. I have to work at my garden. I have to build it. And my life is the same way. I have to work at it. I have to, work through the challenges that come up. I have to cultivate ideas and the things that I want to see flourish and grow in my life and do well. But at the same time, I have to be protective. I have to be careful about who I let into my life, just like I have to be careful about what I let into my garden, what animals I allow to reside there, what pests I allow to reside there. It can be detrimental. So I saw my life through my garden, and I began to see life through the garden. And it was a really profound moment for me. It was a humbling moment. I remember going out there one day and looking into the garden and just seeing everything flourishing, everything doing well. And it was just a really serene moment. It just was peaceful. And I just was so appreciative. And I remember that is truly one of the things that helped jar me out of the funk I was in about my divorce. Just being at peace and being in a tranquil place that I had created with my bare hands. And I couldn't explain it other than just being appreciative of nature and being appreciative of a cultivated space that I built. But it was really cool seeing all the stuff grow and see everything flourish, and then eating the food that I produced for the first time. I had never produced food with my hands and eaten it. So that was awesome. And I'm a foodie, so I love having quality ingredients. So having, the zucchini that I wanted, and having the tomatoes, and tomatoes are amazing out of the garden. That's one of the awesome things about having a garden is growing tomatoes. But, just having all of that fresh produce and things that I produced, it was just a great moment in my life. And I got hooked, and I wanted to do it again. So I go through the ups and downs, and I won't bore you with every season's details, but you know, gardening, you're subjected and, you know, you're held in captivity to the whims of the seasons. So as you go through seasons, sometimes there are good seasons, sometimes there's mediocre seasons, and then sometimes there's bad seasons. And I thought I was going to be able to go out there every year and reproduce the success of the first season. And no, it didn't work that way. The second season wasn't that good. But the third season was an amazing season. I grew tomatoes. Tomatoes are some of the hardest things to grow in the garden. They're some of the most valued things to grow in the garden because they're very bountiful. They're flavorful. There's actual substance to them, and then they have a lot of applications, and people love tomatoes, especially in the South. So, you know, that's one of those, the coveted things that we look for as we grow stuff in the garden is trying to produce tomatoes. So I had tons of tomatoes and I was really happy about that. And, you know, that was one of the prize things. Then the garden just began to yield an abundance of stuff. And I just was blown away by all the stuff that came out of the garden. Peppers and tomatoes. It was just a great year. So that's what gave me the foundation to want to go and do it again in 2019. And, you know, for people who don't understand gardening and what gardening means to me, you know, it really helped me find my dominion over my life, but at the same time, live with things not being perfect. You know, I had to come to grips with sharing my space with the animals in my backyard. I have a rabbit that runs around and eats stuff, and I have chipmunks and squirrels, and you know, I even had a hawk one time try to get one of the squirrels by my house, you know. So I have a bird feeder that I use to attract birds that may want to eat insects possibly. But it's just a sanctuary, and there's things in your garden sometimes that you just have to make peace with. And part of organic gardening is realizing that you can't get everything out of the garden 100% yield, and you're okay with losing some for the sake of other things having an opportunity to flourish. And organic gardening for me, as a metaphor for life, once again, taught me to share. You know, that I can throw, you know, pesticides and put stuff out there to really make it hard for other things to live and to benefit from my work. But then it creates a more toxic environment for me and the food that I'm consuming. So in order to get the best, but not as much as possible, I share with what's in my life. And I make peace with the fact that everything's not perfect, that I'm not getting 100% yield. And, you know, that really helped me to see my life through the prism of the garden, because there's times in my life I wanted things to be perfect. I wanted to have a healthy, flourishing dating life and relationship that's headed back towards marriage. And I wanted, you know, my home to, you know, to be utilized for the purpose that I bought it for, and just all these different aspects, my job and my career, my fitness, everything that I had on my list of things that I'm constantly working on. And I just had to realize that, you know what, even though those things aren't at 100%, those things aren't perfect, I still have a great life, right? And that's how my garden is. You know, even though there's bugs that sometimes get certain plants, and sometimes the chipmunks eat the tomatoes, and sometimes the birds peck the tomatoes, even with all of that, I still have a great life. I still have a great garden, right? And making peace with things not being perfect in the garden, it really helped me make peace with things not being perfect in my life. And then it shifted and it helped me to realize things are pretty damn good. You know, things are pretty damn good. So that's what gardening, you know, taught me. And, you know, I also had various visitors come by, and, you know, a garden is a surprising, you know, showpiece for the house. People love seeing a garden. So I've had various visitors come by, and and take a look at the garden, and they go out there and some of them have picked different things that they see growing, like okra or tomatoes or peppers. And, you know, they want to see it, you know, so you let them see it. And, you know, I had a visitor, who will remain nameless, for the podcast purposes. But she came by and always, you know, talk about how awesome she is, right? Like, I have a very high opinion of her. And, you know, she walked through the garden and kind of just was like looking at stuff, and she felt really at home in the garden. And I don't know, maybe this is once again, my Christian lens being on, but you know, in that moment, you're looking out of the garden and you see a woman walking through your garden, that kind of harkens back to, you know, Adam seeing Eve. Right. So, you know, but it was a cool experience, and she really enjoyed seeing all of that work and seeing what it produced and the yield and just the produce. And, it was a good time, you know, just having her appreciate the garden, because part of being a guy doing stuff is that you want to do it so people can appreciate it. You know, you do it so people can find utility in it. And there's a certain level of validation that comes from that. Although that cannot be the entire sum of your validation in doing things. You have to do things for yourself, but it's nice when other people find value in it and they find joy in it. And, you know, it was cool that she saw that, and she did. And I always joke with her after that the garden really took off and blossomed after she blessed it, you know, with her appearance. So, you know, her visit to the garden, you know, and it was cool. You know, it was cool just to have somebody else see it, but people love the garden, you know, and I don't do it, you know, once again, to show off, but it's a part of my story. It's a part of me sharing who I am with the world, that I love to create. I love to build. I love to make things. I love to work. And, it demonstrates a certain level of competency and dominion over your life when you can create something and make something, which is why I podcast, right? So there's a lot of metaphors that the garden taught me. And this year I'm excited, right? So let me get off all of the philosophical, metaphysical applications of a garden, the theology, but you know, let me talk about something else. But I am really excited for the garden this year. I'm going to grow my tomatoes again. I'm going to grow purple Cherokee tomatoes. I'm going to grow beefsteak tomatoes. I'm getting these from Lowe's, the plants from Lowe's, and I'm going to grow squash again this year, but I'm going to grow a variety of squash, at least try to, you know, that's kind of what you're always hoping for, is that you'll be able to try to do that. And, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what comes from that, which would be really cool, you know, to see how these different varieties of squash yield, and it should be really photogenic, because I really want some pretty pictures this year for my gardening scrapbook I keep on Facebook. So, and you know, we'll see what we get. One of the cool things about gardening, another cool story about gardening, is my neighbor 1 year who lives kind of adjacent to my house. When I was actually changing the landscaping and, you know, carrying mulch and bricks and all this stuff, he came and saw me unloading my car and unpacking all this mulch. And he came over, and a really nice gentleman, you know, he came over and he just started helping me unload the mulch. And he doesn't speak much English, but he was very happy to come over and be neighborly and help me unload my station wagon. You know, I had a Magnum at the time, a Dodge Magnum. So it was just loaded down with mulch, and he came and just helped me unload it. And I mean, it was in the heat of the day, which is the worst time to be doing any kind of landscaping like that. But you know, I picked the worst time of day, and he came over and helped. So fast forward, just on a whim, I went in the backyard into the garden. And when my garden started to produce, you know, I took some of the zucchini I was growing, the gray zucchini I was growing, and some other squash that the garden had produced. And I took, you know, I went over to his house, and in a tradition of being a Southerner, we share produce like that from our gardens and from our farms and stuff. So I took some produce over to him, and I gave it to him. I gave him a bag of stuff. And, you know, he just told me, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he was very appreciative of it, right? And And it was cool. You know, I said, well, this is, you know, I feel like I did something nice for him because he did something nice for me. Reciprocity, right? Little did I know that the squash that I gave him, the gray zucchini, it was actually a squash variant that reminds him of the squash that he would eat growing up and living in Egypt because he's Egyptian. And I had no clue. So when he saw the squash, his family was just blown away because they were like, where did this come from? This is like the squash we eat in Egypt. And, as a result, a great relationship is formed. And, you know, every time he sees me, he's very nice and he waves. He's even blessed me as I drive by, you know, he does the sign of the cross as I drive by. And, his family has actually brought me food and like pans of food, you know, just over is like to say thank you for growing the zucchini that they like. So this year, you know, I'm going to grow it again. And cause they came over when I gave it to them, they were so impressed by it. They said, you know, will you show us how to grow it? And I was like, well, I can do that, but it's easier for me to grow it and just take care of it and produce it. Cause I can't eat all that zucchini. So this year I hope to, you know, plant a bunch of it and grow a bunch of it and give it to them and keep it rolling to them, you know, cause that's part of having a garden that's awesome is being able to share in your abundance. So, you know, there's a scripture, there's a scripture, and a admonition, found in the Old Testament to Israel, where God told Israel that they were to leave the edges of their field unharvested, for foreigners among them, who were residing, among them to have something to eat. And, you know, I thought about that, you know, after the fact, obviously when I shared the produce with my neighbor, that, you know, it's always a good thing to share what you've been allowed to grow, by the mercies of God and his providence and his care for you. And, you know, that has also been a lesson I've learned from gardening is that when you have much, you should share. And even if you don't have that much, you should still share because, you know, generosity has this weird way of blessing you later on. Little did I know some zucchini that I had extra of would go so far as to be a blessing to them and remind them of something that they can't get anywhere else apparently, and my garden is the source of it. And that was a really cool moment. So lastly, I want to just talk really briefly here about kind of like, you know, how to get going with a garden. I'm not gonna spend too much time on that because we talked a lot about that in the last episode, but I just want to give you some encouragement. Like, hey man, if you're thinking about gardening, go garden, right? So the first thing you need to do is figure out what is it that you want to try and grow. Because based on what you're trying to grow and how much you're trying to grow, that's going to determine the amount of space you need. Now, you don't have to go and plow up your whole backyard to create a garden, but you can figure out based on what you're trying to grow, maybe what size pots you need and how many pots you need. One of the things you want to do is prepare for the ups and downs of gardening. And what I mean by that is don't grow just one tomato plant. You know, that isn't a guarantee. That's a guaranteed, recipe for disaster is growing one plant. So if you're going to try to go through the trouble of growing tomatoes, you may want to grow multiple plants, maybe two or three plants. So that's going to require you have two or three large pots because the tomatoes get big and they need a lot of space for their roots to grow. You know, once you decide that, then that tells you how much soil you need. You can go buy bags of Miracle-Gro potting soil and vegetable, or garden soil, as they call it. And it has fertilizers in it, slow release fertilizers and some fast acting fertilizers in it. And you can start from there, or you can build up your soil that you're going to use in your garden by getting topsoil and amending it by adding a bunch of manure and compost to it, mushroom compost and organic fertilizers to it. So you can decide if you want to go down that route. But once you decide what you want to grow, then that will dictate the amount of space you need and what size, you need for planters and, all this other stuff, right? So you know, there's always a thought process that goes into planting a garden. So you have to sit down and plant it. But once you sit down and plant it and you begin to see how big you wanted to make it, then that'll tell you the amount of work it's going to take. And I will say this, always in your mind, overestimate the amount of work it's going to take in a garden, especially when you first start out, because you're going to have to figure out how to water your garden. Talk to you about the timer. You're going to have to figure out how much work it's going to take to tend it and make sure that things are growing the way they're supposed to, that they're not being eaten up by pests. And it's going to take a while. You know, most gardens and varieties of plants take about 90 days to yield. Some things can yield faster depending on what type of plant it is, but everything is pretty cyclical in that it adheres to that 90-day growing season. So you see your garden go through ups and downs, especially early on in spring, because spring can be fairly cold, even though things are beginning to blossom and grow. You know, you're also early on in spring too, depending on when you plant, you want to probably look at some type of a farmer's almanac to see when the last freeze occurs at the beginning of the year, because when the last freeze occurs, that tells you that it's safe to plant your plants so that the weather won't harm them if it gets too cold. Also, you know, decide, you know, exactly what your plans are for your produce. You know, what if it goes well, you know, like, hey, what do you plan on doing with it? And then that kind of helps you begin to think about what you're trying to do in your garden. You know, to start out, I would suggest you probably grow some lettuce. That's a nice one to try to grow early on in the beginning of the year before it gets too hot, because the temperature change will also affect how your plant behaves. And if you wait too long to grow lettuce, then you won't get much because it'll go straight to seed as soon as it gets any size, and that's called bolting. And that's when the plant produces seeds, and you know, then you basically can't eat the leaves because it'll taste really bad. But tomatoes, you can grow them pretty much year round. I'll try to get those out early, because then that helps, especially in Georgia, you can survive the humidity, which causes a lot of diseases later on with your tomatoes. But you know, you just want to figure out what you're trying to grow, and that'll dictate when you need to start planting. So, as of this episode, you're going to probably want to go ahead and start planting pretty soon. You know, go ahead and start figuring out what you're going to grow. And it's too soon to go. It's too late really to start growing a lot of things from seed, but that's why your local, you know, hardware store that has a garden center will be helpful, like Lowe's. You can go and pick out the plants that you want and then just transplant them into your planters and into your containers. So you pick out the tomatoes that you want, the variety that you want to grow, and then just put them out there into your garden bed and begin to water them and take care of them. And if you do that well enough and the weather behaves itself and the season gives you whatever the season plans to give you, you will get tomatoes and you'll get your first garden under your belt. So, you know, I know there's a lot of good resources out there. One of the ones that I like, and I'll link to it in the show notes, is a YouTube channel called The Rusted Garden. And that YouTube channel is very helpful. YouTube is a great place also to go get a lot of information about gardening. There's a lot of hardcore YouTubers that talk all day about gardening on their channels, and it's awesome stuff to listen to and look at. And they'll show you how to do a lot of stuff, especially on The Rusted Garden. He shows you how to set up his, you know, the garden beds and to plant and to plant stuff and get, you know, your garden really established. And, you know, you should also not be scared so much about having an organic garden. The biggest thing is avoid the pesticides. You know, that's the one that is probably the most concerning to me. Fertilizers, I'm not so much worried about because everything is a chemical. Even though people will say things like, well, there's trace amounts of really nasty chemicals that can be found in, you know, synthesized fertilizers, but don't worry about that. That's the part that is not too much to worry about. The biggest thing is getting the routine of trusting Mother Nature to provide some food for you. And it's a great skill to have. And if you're a person who likes to cook, then you can get some really interesting ingredients that you wouldn't normally come across in your traditional grocery store. because you're growing things from seed or growing plants that aren't commonly found in grocery stores. The produce of them usually aren't going to be found in grocery stores, you know, like your heirloom variety tomatoes and stuff like that. So I said a lot, and I just hope that this episode hasn't bored you. It's always interesting when I get on here and talk with just you and there's nobody else. But I like doing that because it gives you a chance to really come to learn some things about me. Gardening has really been a blessing to my life. And I hope that as you think about gardening, that you see it as being a bigger thing than just putting plants in the ground and getting their fruit. But that the garden can really speak to you if you would just listen and you would just observe and you would be still and just see exactly what nature has for you to learn about yourself and about it. As you get better at gardening, you will see that certain things in your life will also get better if you take and apply those lessons that you learned from the garden into your life. So with that said, guys, I'm going to sign off. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope it's something that you find value in. And yeah, I will definitely post some pictures of my garden in the Facebook page and on social media as I get stuff. So you're going to definitely want to follow along and be a part of the conversation on social media. And they'll give you a chance to see some really cool pictures, hopefully, if I get out in the garden and do everything I've got to do. So I'm producing a podcast. I'm gardening, and I'm also trying to get into shape. So we got a lot of cool things going on, guys. So, and guys, with that, that brings us to the end of this episode of Culture and Conversations. Hey man, go by Facebook. Culture and Conversations is the Facebook page. And if you haven't, like the page and turn on notifications. And if you really want to get up close and personal, join Culture and Conversations podcast, the Facebook group. That way you can see a much more intimate and wackier side of the podcast. It's a growing community over there, and I'm really appreciative of everybody who's already following that content. Thursday nights, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, hashtag the group chat. Yet another show in production of Smallwood Media Productions. We entertain you guys over there for being followers of the Facebook page, and you get a chance to interact with me and talk about some really interesting topics. For example, we're talking about reparations and the Democrats and all of this political conversation going on around the topic of reparations. Also, we talk about some just really fun, silly, and adult humor related topics. And we poke fun at me a lot. So it's all good times over at hashtag the group chat, the Culture and Conversations live stream on Facebook. Also, man, there's Instagram, Culture and Conversations. It's the Instagram page. I think you guys are enjoy that. Go and follow along if you're on Instagram. I'm trying to be a little bit more active over there. And lastly, if you want to send me an email, Culture and Conversations is the email address. CultureandConversations@gmail.com. So we want to make sure that you guys know how to get in touch with me offline. And lastly, as my goddaughter would say,
my goddaddy made this.
You guys be good out there and get to digging into the dirt. You'll be surprised at what you might find. So I hope you guys take me up on that gardening. And if you guys have any dope gardening pictures, be sure to post them on Facebook, Culture and Conversations.